Let's turn in our Bibles together to the Gospel, the Good News according to Matthew chapter 18. We read together verses 21 through 35. There's an outline of the message based upon Matthew 18 in the light of Lord's Day 51 of the Heidelberg Catechism. We're learning together how to package our prayers before the Lord and to include forgiveness, as we learn together this evening. Matthew 18, notice the context. It's important. I'll try to remember to connect that, but the process of church discipline, if a brother or sister sins against you, verses 15 through 20, Jesus Christ outlines those three steps, and then he picks up there at verse 21, the parable of the unforgiving servant. If you're able, please stand with me for the reading of the word of the Lord, and let's receive it with believing hearts. This is the word of God. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." You may be seated. So far, the reading of the Word of God. And I encourage you to keep your Bible open and handy for the message on packaging prayer forgiveness. Your congregation of Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord, he fought in World War II. He was in the Air Force. His plane went down because it malfunctioned in the Pacific. And the Japanese picked him up along with another serviceman and put him into their torture chambers. And he spent many years being tortured brutally, especially by a guy by the name of the Birdman. And his name is Louis Zamperini. And you can read the book, Unbroken. I have. It's a great book. You can watch the movie. It's a great movie. But Louis Zamperini forgave his torturer, the Birdman. How do you explain that? Where does someone find the power to do that? He found it in the resurrection of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. More on that in a moment, but I preach to you the word of the Lord as it comes to us, as God forgives our debts in Christ and in Christ alone. We want to see together, first of all, forgiveness, secondly, forgiving, and then finally, fury, and then a few applications for us as God announces the good news in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He forgives our debts in Christ alone. Forgiveness, dear friends, sin is a debt that we owe to God. And Peter is wondering out loud to the Lord Jesus Christ, how often should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? And he's thinking he's generous. Jewish rabbis taught people of God that it was three times that you should forgive those who sin against you. So, and we often say, three strikes, you're out. Jesus says, no, Peter, it's more than three strikes. It's actually more than seven times. It's 70 times seven, 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a king who forgave the debts of his servant. Dear friends, it's an important lesson for us to learn and relearn and remember today as we package our prayers, forgive us our debts because of Christ's blood. Do not impute to us or charge to us, poor sinners that we are, any of our transgressions going beyond the word of God or the evil that constantly clings to us. Sin is a debt that we owe to God. And we keep racking up more and more debt with each and every day. And my brothers and sisters, as the evangelism explosion material put together by the late Dr. James Kennedy notes, it's a good way of evangelizing people, and that's what God is doing for us tonight. He's evangelizing us in Christ Jesus. That just say that you sin just three times each day. And say that you, and we sin many more times than three times a day, and just say that you live 70 years, so three sins a day, and you live 70 years, that's like 70,000 sins. And as we have learned in the book of James, that just breaking one of God's commandments means we have broken them all. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We owe God perfect love, and we owe God to love our neighbor as he loves us, and we keep on coming short, and we fall behind so much so that we can never, ever come up with the resources to repay the Lord. And yet God in Jesus Christ has come to us to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And just think of our sins and our debts. We tend to think of sin as the bad things that we do. But what is the good for God in your life and mine? That's how we should be thinking of the debts that we owe to God that keep piling up in our lives. That I just did not care enough to bring up the name of Jesus Christ to my neighbor. And they may have then entered into a Christless eternity. Our sins of slander, our sins of gossip, our sins of pride, and our sins of selfish ambition, our sins pile up high to heaven itself. And Jesus Christ says, I have come as the risen Savior. And in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has brought a new day. A new day has dawned when Jesus Christ conquered the grave. And he has brought in a new regime. And with that new regime, it's a new day because he brings not limited, but unlimited forgiveness, piercing and filling the hearts of those who believe on him. So it's a new day and new ways for you and for me through history and in our families, in our church, home, and family, in our relationships. In other words, to no longer place limits on forgiveness, but show the generosity of unlimited forgiveness towards others. And God in his mercy cancels our debt. God in his mercy cancels our debt. And we see that reflected here in the parable. The king was settling accounts with his servants, and he sees that the servant, verse 24, owed him 10,000 talents. Tax collectors back then, Think of Perea and Galilee. If tax collectors collected their taxes through all of those large areas, they would probably come up with about 300 to 600 talents. This guy owes his master 10,000 talents. It's a huge debt. It's like $1 billion. And that is how we are to see our debt before God. It's $1 billion worth of debt. We can never, ever begin to repay and pay what we owe. We are asking, even as the servant was asking, for a miracle. The servant falls on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master that the servant released him forgave him the debt. There's the miracle of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It guarantees that if you fall on your knees and plead with God for forgiveness by trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is a meticulous master. Have you noticed that in this text? The king is very meticulous. He's counting exactly how much this servant owes him. And God is counting our sins. He knows exactly how many sins we have sinned. And our meticulous Savior goes to the cross on Good Friday. And he knows exactly how many sins he needs to carry for you. He knows how large and how much and what it takes to cancel your debt. It's finished, he cried. Paid in full. There's the miracle of forgiveness. But here's the miracle of forgiving. What's extraordinary here, and that's the punchline of the parable, it should kind of bite us on the nose. But when that same servant went out, verse 28, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, maybe $6,000. It was a debt, but chump change compared to this $1 billion debt that he owed. And he sees him, began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down, pleaded. He had no patience with him. He refused and went and put him in prison until he would pay the debt. The forgiven refuses to forgive. Extraordinary, isn't it? The forgiven refuses to forgive. And dear friends, the servant is living by the letter of the law. But he cannot himself live by that letter of the law. Are you living by the letter of the law? You can't live by it ultimately perfectly. Neither can I. If you think you're living by the letter of the law, you are deceiving yourself, and so am I. And the deception leads to making sure everybody else in your life is living by that law. And so we grab a hold and we choke them with what? With an unforgiving attitude, an unforgiving spirit. The other servants are outraged. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And I believe there's a tie-in between what Jesus Christ lays out for us. If your brother sins against you, verses 15, your brother sins against you, go, tell him his fault. If he doesn't listen to you, bring some witnesses with you. And I believe there's a tie-in there to say that the witnesses we bring with us to restore brothers and sisters who wrong us are the ones who are distressed. Do we have the heart of Jesus to be distressed as we go along with brothers and sisters to restore when wrong has been committed, when sinners are sinned against and who seek reconciliation? This wicked servant was summoned, and he was identified as a wicked servant by the master who forgave him. Why is it, dear friends, that we are so slow to forgive and slower to forget? There are a lot of reasons. Forgive us, we pray, just as we are fully determined as evidence of your grace in us, wholeheartedly to forgive our neighbors. And what does it mean to forgive? I'm not going to hold it against them. In the words of Ken Sandy in the book Peacemaker, it's a really excellent resource to consider and read through. Ken Sandy says, forgiveness is not holding it against someone. It's not bringing it up to hold over them and punish them. It's not using this incident against them to drive a wedge in between you and this person. That's what it means for forgiveness. God doesn't hold it against us. And so he wants that to be reflected in our relationships, in our attitudes and actions. There are many reasons why we are slow to forgive. What do you think are some of those reasons, dear friends? Why is it that we are so slow to forgive and so slow to forget? It's because we like a pity party. We want people to feel sorry for us, and we milk it for all it's worth. Or we enjoy being angry. And as the bitterness boils because we refuse to forgive, all of a sudden our boring life becomes exciting. We have something to talk about. Many reasons why we refuse to forgive. Well, I'm not going to be treated like trash. No one's going to walk over me and treat me like some sort of doormat. I don't want to be taken advantage of. Why are you so slow to forgive? There's a serious, sobering warning here, dear friends. We see together a meticulous Savior. We also see together a gracious Savior. But we also see here that Jesus is a judging Savior. He's a judging Savior who comes with fury. At those who refuse to forgive. Then his master summoned him and said to him, with me there, verse 32, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, not giving them what they deserve? As I had mercy on you, I didn't give you what you deserve. And his anger, there's the fury of the judging Savior. His master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. The forgiving King is a judging King. Dear friends, when it comes to forgiveness, there's always a price to be paid. There's always a price to be paid. Either we're willing to pay the price, it hurts sometimes. There's a debt that's owed, and we end up paying for it, and it hurts. It's painful. We experience the fellowship of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said it's finished. But there's a greater price to be paid. When we forgive, there's a temporary price. When we refuse to forgive, there's an eternal price to be paid. Well, was the servant really forgiven? What I do know that this servant absolutely had no ultimate understanding and clue at what the master did for him or for her. And dear friends, let us be warned, if we are praying the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our and my debts as we forgive our debtors, if we are just mouthing words, let us be warned of the fury of the king, that ultimately he does not forgive the unforgiving. And they will have to spend the rest of eternity paying an unpayable debt because they are unforgivable. Let's pay the price that's temporary. How can we? The same way Louis Zamperini found out how. Louis came back from the war scarred. And I'm convinced he tried to drink himself to the point of trying to atone for his own sins because he became a drunk. And trying to heal the wounds and the pain, he took it out on his wife and many others in terrible ways. His wife went to a Billy Graham crusade in California. He didn't want to go with her, and he didn't. Then finally, she said, "Would you please come to me to the crusade tonight?" And reluctantly, he did. And at that crusade, the risen Jesus met Louis and broke him and gave him the gift of repentance and faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that moment, he said, "I never touched another drop of alcohol in my life," and it transformed him, and he knew he had to go back to Japan and try to find the bird man in order to tell him, "I forgive you." If Louis Zamperini, by the grace of God and all for the glory of the risen Savior, can do that, so can you and so can I. How? Application number one, think frequently of your free pardon. Think often, think frequently of your free pardon in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we forget about this free pardon, it's very, very easy for us to hold on to grudges, to refuse to forgive, to nurse resentment and bitterness in our hearts. Think frequently of the size of the billion-dollar debt you owe Almighty God, and I do too. And then think frequently. Pray this prayer daily and often with me so that we never forget the scope of God's amazing love that keeps no record of our wrongs and never fails us. Think frequently of your free pardon and let go of whoever you're choking. Who are you choking to death tonight? Let them go. You get the picture here of, the servant's doing one of these. "Yeah, King, would you give me mercy?" While he's choking this guy who owed him some chump change to death. And Jesus Christ saying, "Let go, because you need both hands." So do I. Reach up for the mercy of God. No more hands. Be choking someone. Forgiveness. It's the oxygen of grace by which we can breathe and others can breathe again. And then forgive everyone, everything. Young people, you have to forgive your mom and dad. Parents, you have to forgive your children. Spouses, you have to forgive one another. People of God, you have to forgive your pastor. You have to forgive your boss, your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. You have to forgive the person who molested you. Someone have to forgive the drunk driver. Forgive everyone. Everything. And let us experience the release and the liberty of Christ's love in us and pouring out of us. Amen. Let us pray. Not what our hands have done can save our guilty souls. Not what our toiling flesh has done can atone, O Lord, for all of our sins. We've racked up a $1 billion debt. We have not loved you, dear Father, as we ought to. We haven't loved our neighbor as we love ourselves. Wretched men and women, we are. Thanks be to God for the victory of Jesus, who cried out, "It's finished." We ask, Lord Jesus, for nothing short of a miracle. Please forgive us of our many, many sins against you and each other. Fill us, Lord Jesus, with your Calvary love by the power of the Spirit to live resurrection lives, to go and forgive everyone, everything, to let go of that chokehold we have on others. Thank you, dear Father, that we discover when we release others from prison, we are released from the prison of our bitterness. Breathe new life, Holy Spirit, into dead, dying relationships. May we bathe one another with forgiveness. We confess, O Lord, we're so slow to forgive, slow to forget. O King, be merciful to us. We pray that we may think often and frequently the size of the debt we owe you and the scope, the height and depth, the length of your and breadth of your love for us in Christ. Lord, please make and mold us into a forgiving family of God. We pray, Father, that we may set an example of that to the world. That's canceling everything because it's living by the letter of the law. Thank you for your mercy that triumphs over judgment. May your mercy triumph over judgment in this world and especially in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ here in this place. Lord, hear our prayers, bless our offering. In the name of our forgiving Savior, we pray. Amen.